Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is, if you're in the Bible, it's Mark 4, 1 to 9. And from the story, it's on page 335. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear."
Thanks, Nolette. Well, I can't even look here because Nikki's going to make me choke up. It was such an emotional week. I just got to say a few more things, and I'm sorry if I misunderstand what I saw Friday night when I was in the courtroom there. It was, I think, been led to believe that the lawyers had figured this thing out, and we were just going to go through it, take about an hour. And I got in there, and I realized that this was the judge's show. And we were in there till after 5 o'clock, and just the tension carried through that whole afternoon, because in the air was the possibility that, well, the judge kept saying, "I need to give enough sentence so that it doesn't go to appeal." And the Crown was saying, "I mean, this is something that deserves 5 to 6 years. There's got to be at least 90 days. And so finally, at the end, Nikki went up and spoke, and it was just this huge room. You just must have been, I would have been shaking up there, and I'm supposed to be a public speaker. And she just told this powerful story of what had happened in her life. And she sat down, and the Crown lawyer kind of just slithered up to the mic and said, "Disregard everything I've said," and went and sat down again. And then the judge went through very clearly all the things that he had to consider in order to make his sentence. And then he said, "You don't have to go to prison." And it was such a happy moment. And then he gave a long list of things that Nikki had to do, like keep the peace and try to keep her job and not have a gun in her house. And I was thinking, those are all things that I should do. So we're just so happy, Nikki, to have you here this morning. Yeah, great story of God's goodness. Well, going through the story this last winter, which has been very good, on two or three occasions, somebody has come to me and said, "I read the chapter, and I'm very curious what you're going to be speaking on." Well, this chapter actually was the hardest of all because it was just so full of stuff. You know, how do you pick something out of there to say in a half-hour sermon? So what I want to do is just take that first story about the parable of the sower and the soils, because it's one that has meant a lot to me personally. And if I have ignored something that was very important to you in that chapter, I'm sorry. But it does set up nicely, actually, the rest of the chapter, because it is a parable about hearing what Jesus says and preparing our hearts in order to take in God's word. So if you can get that first parable right, then you are in a good way for the rest of that chapter to hear all the other things that Jesus has to say, because it is the chapter where it is put in his parables and his teachings and his miracles. And it's a good place to start with, all right, what is the state of our heart in receiving the things that Jesus is going to tell us? So there are four soils, and they represent what is going on deep in our hearts. There is the soil that is the path, and it is the beaten down road where many people have walked. The seed, which is God's word, comes and lies on the path, and of course it doesn't get in because it's packed, and just waits there until the birds come along and pick it up and eat it. And this represents that kind of heart that is committed to another world, another way of life, and simply has no interest at all in God's world and God's way of life. And it's tragic because God says clearly that any other way of life leads to destruction. And only my way leads to life. The best example, probably, is the Pharaoh of Egypt, who liked to be in charge of his country, who liked to have a lot of slaves making him stuff. And when this irritant Moses came along and said to him, God says, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no, I don't want to. His heart was hardened to what God had to say. And we know the rest of the story, that the Pharaoh should have paid attention, because along came 10 awful plagues, and then the catastrophe of the Red Sea destroying the Egyptian army, so that Pharaoh lost a whole lot more simply by committing himself to what he wanted to do and not paying attention to God. So that is the hardened path, when we simply have no interest in what God has to say because we are headed in our own way and we still like this way. The second soil is rocky soil. And here there is enough soil for the seed to germinate and get started. So the good news is heard, and it sounds great. There's a lot of excitement and thrill as you enter into a world where there is new people and new ideas and new places to be. It's really great. But Jesus says, they believe for a while, but in time of testing, fall away. And so it always is so for the Christian who starts out with Jesus, that there comes a point where God says, it's now time for you to move on and to become the person that I had in mind when I made you. And so I am going to shape you and test you until you get to that person that you are to be. So it always happens for the Christian that these hard things come into our life. And if the word is in a rocky soil, then that person says, ah, that's not the bargain I had in mind when I came into this. It's not as fun as it used to be. I'm done. Walk away. So that's the rocky soil. Then there is the thorny soil. That's the third one. So this is, again, the seed gets going, but then all of these thistles and weeds crop up beside it. And this, Jesus says, are the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And they choke out the good seed. There's all this nourishment in the soil that should be dedicated to God's word. But it gets sucked up, consumed by these other thistles. And the plant that is coming from the good seed does not bear any fruit. So in the rocky soil, that's when hard things come and there is a conscious decision, no, I don't want that anymore. But with the thorny soil, Jesus says, as they went on their way. And so it's just life happens. And these things come in and they distract and pull us away. And there's not really this decision, I don't want to do with that. It's just, you suddenly find yourself in a very different place. You've wandered off because life has pushed you out there. In the stony soil, life hits. In the thorny soil, life simply happens. And both of these things have a bad effect on the good seed and what it is to make. Then finally, there is the good soil. And this is when the word of God is held fast with a good and honest heart. It gets in the soil, it germinates, it grows, and it produces that crop of 30, 60, 100-fold of what has been put in the soil. I'm going to talk a little bit more later at the end of the sermon about how to hold fast the word of God. Though I need to point out, I mean, you just made a great example of that. Psalm 33, 4, and 5. You know, that was given to you 3 years ago or whatever it was. And that's just a great example of holding on to that word, holding it fast. And all of these things happen in the Sikorsky life. But you hold on to that thing and it pulls you through. It's an amazing thing that God's word does in that way. Well, I personally aspire to have good soil. That's why this parable means a lot to me. I would like to have that good soil inside. But I know that there's a lot of stoniness and thorns inside there in my heart. So this last Monday, as I was contemplating the sermon, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of things in life that just make my heart hard, where something comes up and I just don't want to do that. I don't like it. It means a course correction in my life, and I don't want to do that. So then God, right at that moment, gave me the perfect illustration of how that is in my own heart. I looked at my watch, and I realized that it was time for me to go to my appointment with the dentist. Oh, yeah. My wife, every year, she arranges for the family to go to the dentist for their checkup and cleanup. She tells me then that I'm to do it. I think, didn't I just do that last month? But no, it was a whole year ago. So I went to the dentist on Monday. And the dental hygienist looks in my mouth and says, "Doesn't it bother you, all that tartar buildup?" Well, not really sure what tartar buildup was. I said, "I guess it doesn't bother me." Oh, she laughed and laughed like nobody had ever said that. So I think, what does everybody else say when the dentist, the hygienist says that? I'm just trying to be honest. So she said, so here's dental words of life that she's scattering on my heart. She says, "You know, you could come in every 4 months for a cleanup. Many people do." Well, that just landed on the asphalt highway of my heart. I already thought I was going in every month. I was not going to step up my pace. And see, here's the thing. I know what she's saying. You know, the reason I hate the cleanup is because they've got that scraper thing in your mouth, and every once in a while they touch your gums and it hurts a lot and it starts to bleed. And if I just kept my teeth cleaner and went in 3 times a year, then of course the gums would get healthier and it wouldn't hurt so much. It would all work out. But I resist. My heart is hard. I don't want to do that. And I certainly did not say, "Hey, what a fantastic idea. You mean if I come in every 4 months, then that's something that I can do? I can do that?" I did not say that. So the painful cleaning dragged on and on. And at one point she said, "Please relax your lower lip." And at that point, I just feel like getting up and leaving. Having healthy teeth is a good thing. I know that. And having abundant life in Jesus Christ is a far, far greater thing than even having healthy teeth. And it is something that goes on for eternity. But our hearts are like that, where we are required to make a course correction, a change of direction, to leave something behind that we don't really want to. We behave like the Pharaoh, where he likes what I have. He liked what he had. And in order to accept the word that Jesus has for us, it's got to be a change of course. And we know we should, but we don't want to. And making that good soil in our heart in which we receive what God has to say to us so that it grows is something that all of us should aspire to, because it produces life in us. But we've got to have that good soil in our heart. How then do we make good soil inside us? Well, I just noted down three things here. First of all, we need to remember that it is Jesus who is the seed. He is the one who is knocking on our door. So dust doesn't wash to say, well, I'm not going to answer the door because I don't like the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. Or I don't like the pastor's shirt, so I'm not going to open the door. Well, it's not the pastor's shirt that is knocking on the door. It's Jesus. And he knows you best. When he says, this is something that is good for your life, he is not guessing. He knows exactly who you are, what you should become, what is right for you. And when you hear that word come to you, trust it as from Jesus. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And that's really, really true. The second thing I put down is that he is speaking to you. That's another thing that we easily forget. So Jesus stood up at one time and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We know that he really did say that 2,000 years ago in a space in Jerusalem to a certain group of people. But he is also saying that to you and to me, to you with a name, to Chris Peters. He's saying, Peters, come to me and drink. And I've got to respond to that. That's a decision on me. What am I going to do? And he's saying it to you. We can't put it off on other people. He is knocking on the door of your heart. He is speaking to you. And the third thing I have here is to hold it fast in an honest and good heart. And I just now could not think of a better illustration than what Josh and Nikki said about holding on to that verse. That we hold on to it when hard things come into our life. And we hold on to it when we are distracted by thorns and thistles, that we give it the highest worth in our life. It is the most important thing. And that we hold on to it because when we do, it then produces a crop. And people laugh about, you know, opening up your Bible and sticking your finger in and seeing what it says, but really, I have found again and again that God is very good about giving people verses at the right time. He really is. We should trust him in that too. We had our prayer meeting Thursday evening over here for the Sikorskis, and I was sure that I had the best possible verse for the Sikorskis to read. And I got there and Donna said, I have the perfect verse for the Sikorskis. So then Dennis Wickersham pointed out, well, perhaps you both have good verses for the Sikorskis. But they were both, you know, just right for us for that situation. And we read them and it seemed, it really was something from God. And it happens to all of us that he gives us the word that we need at the right time. And that's why it's a good thing just to know your Bibles, to know what's in there so that the verses can be drawn out as the seed of God planted in our heart in order that we might be helped by him. So this parable of the sower and the seeds, I think, is a very good beginning to what Jesus then says in the rest of the chapter. And I just wanted to read a little bit more, carrying on from where Noelette was. And these are more parables, and Jesus makes more metaphors and illustrations, and even I, you know, I'm working to try and figure out exactly what he says, but I want you just to hear when Jesus says, listen, hear, consider, because it takes some work. He's not feeding it to you straight, and he's not feeding it to you straight because he wants you to struggle with it a little bit. It's not just information that he wants to pass on to you. He wants, through his parables and his stories, to get you turned around so that you're looking at them from his point of view and not from your point of view. That's why I think he tells these stories and parables, so that we work at it. We fight our way in. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Well, you hear those stories about the seed, the measuring out, the lamp, and it's not immediately obvious what Jesus is talking about. But that's why he says, consider it. Read it over several times and pray about it and let God begin to show you what I am saying so that you come around to Jesus' point of view. It's a very easy thing to come to the Bible and think, well, I'm going to find out in here that God is required to give me whatever I want, or that God is going to make my life easy and fair, or that God owes me. Easy to come to the Bible from that direction. But then you realize these parables don't make any sense in that point of view. So what point of view is Jesus offering us? And we need to consider, hold it fast in a good and honest heart, and it will produce a crop. So I think it best when we come to the Word of God to always begin with prayer. And I wrote up a prayer, and I'm going to read it to you, and then after I've read it to you, I invite you to pray it with me. I wrote here, "Lord, help me to hear what you are saying. Make the soil of my heart honest and good so that I can receive the seed which you are sowing there and which is your word of life to me. Carry away the stones, dig up the thistles, work the soil so that it is ready to receive what you need to say to me. Amen." Now, would you pray that prayer with me? Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear what you are saying. Make the soil of our heart honest and good so that we can receive the seed which you are sowing there and which is your word of life to us. Carry away the stones, dig up the thistles, work the soil so that it is ready to receive what you need to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand. Yeah, thanks. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, I give.
Dismissed.